A63, number 2B.
All right. Now, what is the symbol, the main symbol of the first day? It's light. All right. Let there be light. That pervades that really as dominant that first day. What does light mean as a symbol? What is the metaphysical interpretation? Intelligence, all right? What did you say? Intelligence too? Yes. Wisdom. So we have first that we see that any creation would start with intelligence, or humanly, with wisdom. That is the first great point. And we just want to pinpoint these days. All right, so that is the first day. We come to the second day. What is the biblical symbol, the main biblical symbol of the second day? It's the firmament. So we have light, then firmament. As we go along, I think this is a minimum that I can ask then of the student, that they know those seven symbols in the, by their fingertips. That it is not something that we have to remember, so to say, but one knows, so that we constantly can play with it. I mean, play with it in a scientific way, not any other way. So we have the second day, let there be a firmament, and perhaps we say, what is the office of that firmament? That's very good. You don't say that just that separates. It's not just separating. Why is that not enough if I would say the second day is the firmament that separates? Would that be clear? No, because why isn't it clear? You don't know what it separates, yes? Could it also separate something which is right? Yes? See, we would say there is no separation between God and man, between principle and idea. Therefore, separation is only separation of what, in a general way? Of opposites. Yes. So, firmament is the line of demarcation between opposites. It separates between opposites. So, we must perhaps be a bit exact in our language so that we don't just say spirit separates. We know, even if we say that, that only means separates between opposites. Whatever the opposites are, what can be the opposites? Real and unreal? Good and evil? Idea and illusion, yes. Truth and error, love and hate, life and death. You can go right through the various synonymous terms, yes. The opposite. All right. So we have the second day. Now, we ask these questions about order, right here. And we say, now, why, you can ask the very first question, why doesn't the record start with the firmament? And said, God made a firmament right from the beginning and separating really the opposites so that he has a clean table to work on. Why isn't that the first day? Why couldn't the record of creation say, and on the first day God said, let there be a firmament to divide the waters above and the waters beneath, which would mean for us to separate ideas from illusions. Why didn't it start that way? Why didn't it start with that wonderful sense of purity? There would nothing be to separate. Yes? If he would start with the first with the second day, you would actually have what we said before, that separation could mean separation of anything. Could be the separation of God and man. You wouldn't know really what category to separate. Is it the category of principle and idea being one and separate that? The category of God and man being one and separate that? Or is it the category of opposites? Yes? So, can you see the logic of it? That first, we must state what is the real or the true or the divine and what is the opposite of the divine. Therefore, idea, illusion, light, darkness. So that we would find already this a very practical indication. Only if we would have the first and second day, if we would not know much more in Christian Science, but just those 2 days, what kind of a practical implication would that be for us in everyday life? What would it mean to us? Just go over the same thing again. You know, I have to teach the subject by saying the same thing about 100 times, hopefully thinking that at 101st time, it's there, huh? It's ingrained. Huh? Just as Mrs. Eddy said, those 7 days of creation really should be engraved in our consciousness, you see, so clearly as the point of a diamond, huh? And the pen of an angel. It should be clear-cut and it should be warm. Yes. So what would you say, what would we already have gained in our practical everyday life, that we see that the first and second day have a definite order already? What would be the implication?
To name it? Identify it?
Have we had that? No? Well, it's so easy. I mean, don't think about something very elaborate. I think along that line that Emma said it, yes? For instance, huh? You are meeting any problem in the daily life, huh? Which is not clear. Huh? You cannot start out saying it should be clear. Huh? You cannot start out by saying, I want only that which is clear, the second day. So have it clear already, right at the beginning. Huh? You have to say, I first have to see what is really of the nature of God, therefore the nature of idea, and what is not of the nature of God, not of the nature of idea. You have first to ask the first day, namely, what is idea, what is illusion, what is of the nature of God, what is not of the nature of God. And once you have seen that, you make your choice. Huh? You make your decision. That's the second day. So the second day is the day of decision. Huh? Not just separating. That separation reflects itself in your life as making the decision. On which side do I want to stand? Is that clear, huh? Actually gives the hint of the third. But let's go and see why the preceding one is necessary. Yes. So, can you see if you have an unclear situation and you don't know the answer? So many people make a decision. Say, I do this. And the quicker you do it, the better I manage my business. Huh? I'm really a man of action. I make my decision. I make quick decisions. Huh? See, you use at once the second day instead of saying, no, I'm not going to make decisions. I'm first going to analyze the situation. That's the first day. I analyze it. What is light? What is darkness? Huh? I analyze what is ideational, what is not of the nature of ideas. So I really first ask about the nature of a situation. And then comes the important point, the second day only, where usually a student already fails. He doesn't make the right decision because he doesn't like to take the right. Most people, the human mind, doesn't like to take the right. They like to take the wrong. They don't like to put first things first in their lives. It's not really agreeable. So already the second day is one of the most decisive step in our life. Think what we would achieve, and think what we would have achieved in the last 40 years if we had taken John Dole's teaching right. And it was every time when we had to make a decision, ask ourselves, what is the first day? What is idea? What is illusion? What is of value and what is not of value? What is of divine value, right? What is not of divine value? And then when we have considered that first day, would have actually decided to put first things first. Think what the power would develop within us. If in every instance we would have said, first things first, the divine first, the human second, the spiritual first, the material second. This is quite a terrific standpoint. So it is not enough just to have a conceptual sense of the days of creation and say, oh yes, I learned that, that's very interesting, that's very clear, that doesn't really mean a lot of intelligence, you know, to see that the first day has to do with idea and illusion, and therefore mentally I can make the second day. Mentally I say, yes, ideas are really God's ideas, that's wonderful, you know, they are really the thing, and the others are not really the thing. That doesn't do a trick if it is not embodied within ourselves, and we actually make that firmament in ourselves, and actually put that which is not of God aside, and actually decide for that which is spiritual. Yes? That second day is a terrific day already. Quite terrific. So let's see that these days of creation are not concepts which we turn over in our mind. They are facts of reality that constitute our being. So the student who begins to learn something about this science should constantly ask these very big questions in his daily life. What are my motives? To what do I give my everything? To what do I consecrate my everything? And naturally he sees that it is demanding a lot. And then to back out is going right back to the darkness upon the sea. There God is still brooding over the darkness. Still what is before the first day. That God was brooding over the darkness. And we go right back into that brooding in the darkness. We still say God is here, and that's our only comfort that we say, but God is still here, but I'm going back to the darkness. And I mix up my life with all that is not with the divine. This is terrific. I know it needs a lot. You see, that's actually what we can see when we compare it with chapters of the textbook. You have prayer, which is so to say more or less symbolizing that nice tone of let there be light, where we see really what God is and how we should really worship that God. And then comes atonement and Eucharist, which says, are you acting boldly? Are you willing to lay down the false sense? Are you actually making in your life that decision? Are you actually putting first things first and second things second? Are you actually doing? And actually, Mrs. Eddy says in that chapter, you know, it is a cross. And you have to drink the cup. It's not easy. But you have to do it. Or else, you cannot go further in the textbook. You can read the textbook all your life, but inwardly in your life, you don't get anywhere. Isn't that so? Isn't it so that students of Christian Science after 50 years come along and say, actually, I don't know much more than what I knew 50 years ago. Actually, 50 years ago, I had much more success with Christian Science. Now it doesn't work anymore. Well, that's not the fault of Christian Science. That's the fault of not going the order of the days of creation. That's all. And it starts right out with the first and second day. Putting first things first. Do we actually put, you see, all our energies first to that which matters or to that which does not matter? Do we put our time, our energy, our finance, our everything, our love, our admiration, our hope, and everything into the waters above the firmament, or do we put it in the waters beneath the firmament? That's the question, to be or not to be. That's the decision. So, this is the way in the days of creation show us a way of life. It's a way of life. It's not the way of thinking out things. Christian Science has nothing to do with thinking out things. That's pure metaphysics, ordinary metaphysics. The philosophers do the same. They think out things. And they get quite a kick out of it to think out things all their life, and then after at the end of their life, they are not much more than an ordinary human being. They have not gained the stature of manhood. Their philosophy has no spiritual power. With that philosophy, they cannot do anything in life. They cannot heal. They cannot solve problems. They are not a better man. They are not showing forth a higher stature of manhood. Nothing. It's just thinking things out, and you can get quite a kick out of it. Why not? Just as in mathematics, you can get a kick out of it. But it doesn't really affect your life. This is a ordered way of life, the days of creation. It creates at the sixth day what is actually man and not a mortal. Then we go on and come to the third day of creation. So, again here we ask first the fundamental question about the third day. First, what is the biblical symbol, so that we have some kind of a foothold, first light, then the firmament, then the third day. The third day is the dry land. Is that really the main symbol? Or the only main symbol? Yes. You see, here in the third day, and that's interesting then to note, we make a mental note that actually in that third day we get two main symbols, namely the dry land, and second, the seed within itself. Let's put it that way, it's the herb and the fruit tree and so on that has the seed within itself. So it's the seed within itself. It indicates, perhaps at once first, without that we know the answer, that apparently in the third day we have a kind of a break. Why? What does the Bible symbolically say? It says that God gathered together the waters so that the dry land appears. So it was an act of God, a direct act of God, that the dry land appeared. But then, We have an interesting change, a break really, in that creative act, that it says, now that which God has created, namely the dry land, let that do something. Let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So we get here an indication that something happens here which is new, which breaks, so to say, a little bit the flow, so that we have a direct flow which says, God said, let there be light, God said, let there be a firmament, and God said, let there be dry land. And then suddenly, that which God has created up to that point begins to have seed within itself. See, it isn't said, and God said, let the seed have fruit in itself. It says, let the earth forth. So that God uses, so to say, its creation to be creative again. All right, so this is the symbol. What would be the metaphysical interpretation, first of the first symbol, of dry land? What is, you would call it identity. Yes? Why would you feel that the dry land is symbolizing identity? What indicates that? It's definite, huh? You see, up to this point you didn't have anything really definite, because light has no identity, so to say, has no form, huh? It's just a diffuse light. You cannot classify it or so. You have the firmament that will divide, and still you don't know what is the identity of that which is above and what is beneath. Still waters, elements of mind, as Mrs. Eddy calls it. And now in the third day, those elements of mind become now definite forms. The earth she symbolizes as the definite forms of mind. So that things became definite, they have now identity, they are now they are definite, you can recognize them, they are recognizable now, definable, you can name them. They are not blurred anymore. There's some identity about it, or definiteness about it. If we stick first with this first symbol of the third day, of the dry land, if you only would know the days of creation up to this point, what would be our practical implications from it? What does it teach us for everyday life? If we have just these three in an order. I put the question other way around. Why is not the dry land the first day? Why didn't the writers of the record of creation say, and God said, let there be dry land, and then I can do something with that dry land. Then I really can plant things and so on, and there are seeds within itself, and then it will blossom, bloom. Why is it not possible to start out just with the identities of being? The dry land. You have to know what to do with it. And yes, why do you have mind to start? Yes, to begin with. Yes, how would you explain it further? It's all right, we just take in a few aspects. Yes?
Create something to identify. Without mind creation, you have nothing to identify.
Yes?
No ideas.
Yes. So, okay, I don't know, Bill, if the class could see your reasoning because it was so quick. Can you analyze it more? That's the point.
If mind is the creator.
Yes.
And without mind creation, there's no idea or no ideas with which to...
Yes. Therefore, in your practical life, if you would start out with identities, don't you have in the material human world identities? Now you also have them, huh? So why not start with them? Why not start with the identities which we have in the human, which we have in the human conceptions? You have a tree, you have a house, you have a cat, and you have all sorts of identities right away. You are brought up with it. So, why not start with that?
That's only material frame of reference, and there's no spirit in
it. Yes?
Reality.
Uh-huh. So that would be what? Which day?
Second.
All right, so you could start with the second and to the third.
You can't start with the second and go to the third, because the reality was created by mind to begin with.
Yes? Yes, so you go to the first. Huh? And you see, that's what I wanted you to bring out. You said it right at the beginning, but so short that I felt, but the course may perhaps not see the reasoning, huh? From the five, from the three to the two to the one. Huh? If we start out with identities and say, yes, I know identities, you know, I know what the man is. I can see him walking around. Huh? That's man, that's not the cow, huh? Or not the donkey, huh? So I can see identities. If I start with that, I start in the wrong place because they are wrongly defined identities. A mortal is not an immortal, so they are wrongly defined identities. In order, therefore, to identify them rightly, I must first know their reality, the kind of reality. I go back to the second day, what is real, what is unreal, is that mortal which I just see walking there over the lawn, is that a reality or is that not a reality? And in order to find out if it is a reality or not a reality, I have to go back to the first day and say, is that a creation of mind, is that an idea of mind, or is it not an idea of mind? You come back to the first day. Can you see the reasoning? So, one always sees more, the further we go, therefore, the reasoning can be rather quick, as Bill has shown it. You always say, well, whatever I touch, is it of the nature of God's creation, first day, or not? Is it of the nature of idea, or not? Huh? Because only that will show me on the second day if it is a reality or not a reality, and I can separate it. So that I will never, therefore, call something that is of the nature of the unreal an identity of being.